All right. Hi, and welcome to From Many People's Strength, the podcast where we cover Saskatchewan politics and current events. My name is Corey, and my pronouns are he and him.
And my name's Sarah, and my pronouns are she and her.
And we're missing David again. He's taking a well-deserved rest after driving through the winter storm today. So, yeah, our first snow of the year is always a fun one.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't have to drive much. Other than, like, city streets are clear enough that it's no big deal. But
yeah, we went grocery shopping today, and it was less than fun, but that's okay. The wind was blowing us around wherever we wanted to walk, so it was easy. So I guess if we want to, we can just get right into things.
Sure.
This, a couple weeks ago, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, the Saskatchewan government came out with their white paper on Saskatchewan economic autonomy. And it's called Drawing the Line, Defending Saskatchewan's Economic Autonomy. And it was, in my opinion, not a very good document. there's lots of stuff going on there that I thought seemed really like assertive without without making assertions without evidence to support them, as well as just whiny, typical SAS party shit about the federal government. But yeah, we've got three articles that I want to kind of go through on this topic. So I'll bring up the first one. This one is from the CBC, and it says Sask policy papers, financial analysis, not credible, economist says. Premier Mo dismisses criticism of financial analysis and calls it back bang on. Of course he does. So the first part of this article is a discussion with Trevor Tombe, who is an economist at the University of Calgary. And he said, and I want to emphasize that Trevor Tombe isn't like some radical lefty. Like, he's not an NDP guy. He's kind of you could say he's a centrist, like a middle ground kind of economist. But economists by nature are kind of conservative most of the time. Like, they're not usually anti-capitalist or, you know, anti-progress or anti-economy or whatever, right? But he says, I think that analysis turned out to be incredibly weak, and so I think serious individuals shouldn't put a lot of weight in those numbers. And what he's referring to there is the claim that federal climate change policies will cost the economy of Saskatchewan $111 billion by 2035. It's just
from where?
The headline estimate is 8.8 billion on average per year from various aspects of the economy that will be hit by the federal climate change policies. They estimate that the carbon tax will have a cost to Saskatchewan between now and 2035 of approximately $25 billion. So that's like a quarter of their estimate is based on the climate or carbon tax, ignoring, of course, that those revenues go back into the pockets of Saskatchewan residents. So
yeah, and could have been used to, you know, develop other sectors, do research on solar cell, like anything besides just give some money, get it back.
Yeah, that's right. Just give the money, get it back. Yeah. Instead of actually developing like alternative fuels or alternative power sources as a part of a growing progressive economy.
Yeah. Okay, so I kind of wasn't paying super close attention because I was looking at the white paper itself. So I was looking at the actual white paper and their claim of like carbon tax doesn't actually do anything, and looked at the source that they cited. And it looks like it's kind of a review-ish letter. I didn't have time to read the whole thing. But let's see. basically, it says, at best, carbon pricing has produced incremental reductions. If it is to be used as a tool for mitigation, it should only be used in tandem with other more aggressive policies. So it's like your own thing that you're citing is saying this isn't enough. Like,
it
produces incremental reductions, but more needs to be done. And your whole basis of your white paper is that the federal government is trying to do too much.
Right. So, yeah. It seems if the federal government was as aggressive as was necessary, then you would probably get like a bigger economic impact.
Yeah. But politically, you have to shoot for baby steps because people like the premier of our province will lose their mind and take the Supreme Court if you try to do anything.
Every tiny little step will get roadblocked by people like this.
Yeah, and that's kind of my whole issue with it. It just seems like a dressed up version of his wasteful lawsuits that he's already failed, right? Yeah,
that's right.
And like, I don't know a lot about resource rights and provincial and federal, you know, distinctions therein. But, you know, it was saying something about how, you know, the resources are ours and we can sell and export and whatever, but the byproducts thereof, you know, the federal government is putting environmental regulations on. And it just sounds to me like he just wants to be able to piss in the pool, you know.
And claim that, oh, well,
I have a right to go pee.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure,
you can't tell me not to.
Yeah, it's like, sure, bud, but we're all standing in the pool. If you drop a deuce in here, it kind of ruins it for the rest of us. So we're just making a rule saying you can't, you know, float your turds in the pool, right? We're not trying to control your bowels. We're not trying to tell you what to eat. We're just saying don't put it in the pool, right?
Yep.
So it's you can do whatever you want with your natural resources. Just don't pollute the environment that we all have to share. And he's throwing a hissy fit about it, you know? And it just seems, you know, super hypocritical that it's like, I can't wait till we get to, you know, the First Nations.
That's right.
Our sovereign lands. And right in the beginning, it was like, it talked a lot about our destiny.
Yeah.
We want to be able to fulfill our destiny. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, we have a destiny. I don't. And it said that at least twice in the first six pages.
In the show notes, I'll include, for listeners or viewers, there's a couple of good Twitter threads about the white paper, people who read it and tweeted as they were reading it because it was pretty weak.
And some were fun. I read one that was kind of fun and just like a broad strokes, more like about the tone or whatever. But it was like, who puts their own tweet in a white paper like that? I didn't know what a white paper for sure was. Like, I had kind of a gist, but so I Googled it. A white paper should provide well-researched information that is not found with a simple internet search and have a compelling narrative to keep the reader's attention. The author of a white paper should research and fully define the topic, create an accurate outline of information, etc., etc.,
etc.
I feel like they haven't met the bar.
I would agree with that assessment.
Yeah. And lots of good Twitter threads going through people who know a lot more than I do, but it just feels like he's just whining and the whole nation within a nation thing. It's like, we're not special or unique, you know,
That's right.
I don't know what this whole separate.
We're part of, and I mean, if you want to have a discussion with the, you know, an anarchist analysis of countries and decentralization, I can do that. That's my whole bag. I love that shit. but that's not what he wants. He wants to make Saskatchewan an independent nation within Canada.
Yeah.
So that we can still benefit from being in Canada, but also just do whatever we want.
Yeah. Just screw the rest of Canada.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Part of this this CBC article, they talked to Jim Farney, a professor and director with the Johnson Shoyama School of Public Policy in Regina. And he says, the costing on the financial side is, I've got to say, at best, odd. I think what they've done, it's hard to say in detail, is pick numbers that are the absolute worst case. For example, Farney said the $34.9 billion that the government lists as a cost under the Clean Fuel Regulation doesn't include the possible upsides of increased biofuel use. And it's not clearly explained, and almost certainly the ultimate worst case if we're not to adapt over the next 15 years. Yeah, one of the things that really like blew my mind about it was this complete rejection of any growth in any way. Like, we're just going to sell oil. That's all we're going to do, and we're never going to change.
It's our destiny.
It's our destiny. That's right. To be stuck in the 1990s when the entire world is like
fertilizer and oil, even though I know that our provincial government is just kind of doesn't believe in climate change, but this just is like further. It's like all this stuff is hard and they tell us we can't do things. It's like the alternative is we all die though, bud. It's obvious that they don't, because it's like, yeah, a lot of this stuff sucks. Change sucks. Nobody likes to change, and people will lose jobs, but other jobs will be created. And if you're smart, you can, you know, cross train people into new careers, you know, build that research funding, like all kinds of things you could do if you had, you know, a long-term strategy and gave a shit. It's obvious that he doesn't believe in climate change, so he's just like, or he does and it's like, nah, we're too far gone. I want to be able to make money while I'm alive. Fuck my kids, you know.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I don't care if the world is burning by the time they get to take over. I'm in it. Well, free, right.
Part of it too is that they really have a focus on provincial control of immigration, right?
Yeah.
So Saskatchewan is, it seems, one of the places that's going to feel the impact of climate change less than other places. And so we're going to have an influx of people coming here because the places they live are uninhabitable.
Yeah.
So he wants to make sure that we don't have to let anybody in.
Yeah. And I mean, good luck with that.
Yeah.
If you have stuff that nobody else does, what tends to happen is, and especially if you're your own nation without your own standing army and
like, yeah, that's right.
Oh, you can't come in here. It's like, okay, well, we're just gonna.
Yeah,
I'm gonna take it from you then. So
exactly.
So he wants, you know, a climate war where we are our own indefensible nation and a bunch of climate refugees who look at us and be like, okay, well, I don't see why I can't just go in here and take, I mean, you took stuff. Why can't we?
Right.
Just kind of bizarre all around, but that's kind of just Mo in a nutshell, right? Just today he did a really poor taste tweet.
Oh, of course he did.
It's just a national embarrassment. Really?
Yes, indeed. The only worse premier is next door, but Doug Ford's pretty bad too. I can't say that. And John Horgan isn't doing what I would think he should be doing. And I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't have a great, very good bunch of premiers across the country.
No. So it's a problem. And not that like I'm Trudeau's best pal or anything, but if I had a choice between him and Mo in charge of my life, I'd still pick Trudeau.
I would never pick Mo. I don't know who he's against. I don't know, really think it really matters, but I would never pick Mo.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
We've got another article regarding the same white paper. This is from APTN News. Saskatchewan Premier overstepping his authority over land rights, according to the FSIN. he says, Scott Moe says he plans to fight Ottawa over natural resource jurisdiction. And, the FSIN kind of thought, hey, you're definitely not doing what you should be doing here. According to Moe, Saskatchewan has a great history of working together with First Nations partners on economic opportunities, whether it be through the Indigenous Investment Financing Corporation or through initiatives like forestry agreements. Where is it? According to the FSIN.
One thing you can say about Mo, it's that he really likes our Indigenous folks.
Right, eh? Jeez. According to the FSIN, the province can't protect the land that doesn't belong to them. First Nations are not surprised with the province's lack of consultation and accommodation when it comes to the development of laws, regulations, and policies imposed on us, especially when it impacts our inherent treaty and constitutional rights, according to FSIN Chief Bobby Cameron in a news release. It seems like a pretty damning statement to me. Like, you didn't consult with the First Nations. You didn't, like, take into account any of the stuff regarding treaty rights that, you know, we're supposed to have a duty to, what is it called? A duty to...
Like a duty to consult?
Yes, that's right. Oh. Yes, there's supposed to be a duty to consult when things are done on Indigenous land or land that was taken from Indigenous peoples.
I was like... Nothing is land, though. So
yeah, that's right.
But I love, love, love how the whole intro was about how the federal government didn't consult with the provincial government on these environment policies. And it's like, well, bud, you're not really known for consulting anybody but your little, like, town halls with your supporters. But
yeah, that which is why this happened in it was the public statement of it. The release was in the Battlefords, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't in Regina or Saskatoon where he might actually face some pushback.
Same with all of those little town halls, right?
Yeah.
They were like invite only, not a town hall.
Yeah, that's right. FSIN Vice Chief Heather Bear said that when the province ignores its constitutional obligations to consult on important policies, First Nations have no choice but to consider their legal options. Quote, the premier must do better and he must address his obligations to First Nations before he develops plans that will no doubt impact our nation, said Bear. So, yeah, again, it's just more ignorance coming out of the Saskatchewan government. Scott Moe just doing whatever he feels like doing. He's mad at Justin Trudeau and the Liberal government and federally. I can't help but wonder, like, if, say, a conservative party had won at some point and just kept the carbon tax even a little bit, would this be happening? Would Scott Moe be pushing for a nation within a nation? Because traditionally conservative parties also fuck over Saskatchewan more even than the Liberals, like as much as the Liberals.
I made a note because he was again complaining about how this has been a long-standing issue, like since the inception of Saskatchewan. And I'm like, well, why did Harper fix things then?
Right. Yeah, he was the savior, right?
Yeah.
So why is this still a problem?
Yeah.
But we've got one more story on this topic. I almost feel like I'm beating a dead horse at this point. this is from CTV. Sask Premier Scott Moe looks to follow Quebec's lead in push for more provincial autonomy. I believe many people have talked about this. Saskatchewan and Quebec are different. There's different things going on here. We cannot follow the Quebec model. We can't like try and do what they're doing.
Because isn't the whole thing like unique culture and unique.
Yes. Yeah.
Stuff like that. And it's like, we're so like, backwoods boring that
what Saskatchewan culture is like that.
Well, and whatever it is, does it differ from Alberta?
Right. No, it fundamentally doesn't. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Those prairie folk are kind of homogenous.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways. Yeah, so just because you think you're special, just because your mommy has told you you're special, doesn't mean you're actually special. Yeah, that's like, right. Does he just not have anybody close to him that can tell him these things, right?
Like, they all feel the same way. They all have share the same ideas, right? In the CTV article, there's a one part here. The premier states the next step is to table legislation to, quote, clarify and protect constitutional rights belonging to the province, end quote, with further details expected in his upcoming throne speech on October 26th. And then Daniel Westlake, a professor of political studies at the University of Saskatchewan, told CTV News Saskatoon that would entail getting approval from the federal government and seven provinces to change the constitution. Which seems unlikely. Like, I don't know. I don't know what he thinks is going to happen.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I don't know him. Is he just like that delusional? Or is this like, he knows this will never happen, but it just feeds his bait. It's just that rage farming that keeps him in power. Right.
Yeah.
I tend to think it's that, because nobody could be this obtuse, right?
Right, you would think not.
But then again, like, he actually went forward with the lawsuits about the carbon price.
Yeah, which was a guaranteed loser, right?
Yeah,
like, and everybody knew that ahead of time.
A lot of money to do that. Yeah. And all the conservatives that my tax dollars, blah, 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 don't seem to care.
No, that's right. They only care about wasting tax dollars if it means helping people.
Programs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So I would really just love to know, you know, to be a fly on the wall of the inside of his head, just to be like, are you really this obtuse that you delusional that you think that all of this is a good idea and you're, you know, bang on correct about all of this? Yeah. Or are you just being like, yeah, I can do whatever the hell I want as long as it feeds the base, the drug they need, which is rage against the federal government and anybody else. That's all I really need to keep myself going, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There was, like, say, a couple really good Twitter threads, and I recommend that everybody read the FSIN statement on this. It's worth the read. And if you feel like it, I mean, read the white paper. It, to me, read like you say, like a whiny kind of blah, blah. We're so hard done by because we rely on these things and the federal government cares about the environment. So that screws us over.
Why can't we fulfill our destiny?
Yeah. Like, come on.
Well, and you're just saying Saskatchewan sucks because all we have is food, fertilizer, and fuel.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, maybe find some other thing. Like, be innovative. Be, you know, best practice, front of the line. Like, come up with something new. But it's like, this is all we have, so you can't take it from us, is kind of a self-own, isn't it? Right?
Like, yeah, that's right.
All we can do is, I can only use a typewriter. You can't make me learn Windows.
Yeah, that's right. I can't learn anything new. I can't transition to anything different. But there was the one line in the one article where Scott Moe was talking about the carbon tax, and he says, that's not going to the people that it's supposed to be going to. And I can't help but wonder, like, okay, who does he think it's supposed to be going to?
A little
to?
On the nose.
Like,
because that was like the whole point.
Aren't you saying like the wrong thing here? Like or the quiet part loud? Like, come on, man.
Because that's the whole point, is that all those individuals that got pissed off at the carbon tax, it's like, you pretty much get it all back.
Yeah, that's right. It's,
you know, the big corporations who are doing the most polluting that theoretically should feel the pinch and start changing the practices, right? So it's like, the fact that it's individuals that are so ticked off, it's like, do you give the money back? Do you refuse to accept your carbon rebate when it comes? Highly doubt it. Spend money yeah, and right. you spend it however you want to spend it, yeah. but you're still damn pissed about it. And it's like, are you one of the business people that are actually feeling the pinch? And if you are, like most businesses that are smart adapt, right? If you see stuff, but if they know they have a politician in their back pocket that they can convince to spend taxpayer money on, like, why wasn't it the businesses taking the federal government to court over these policies?
Right.
If they were the ones that are truly, why is our government fighting their battles for them?
Right? It's almost like,
in the name of.
In the name of.
Or individual taxpayer when
we're
not really affected at all by this. But speaking for myself, I guess, because I don't do much. So
that's all right. No, it just, it's so on, like you say, it's so on the nose. It's so clear that he's working for the benefit of these major corporations, and he doesn't actually care about the impact of on the individual or the broader environment. Because when CEOs and mega corporations aren't going to be the people hurt when the climate is changing, it's going to be people who you know, who he isn't protecting. But good old Scott Moe.
Because I got into it with some trolls on Twitter about this.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, because every time they're like, this is grooming kids. And I'm like, explain how.
Yeah.
Explain how drag story time.
They can't explain it because it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, dueling protests erupt over Saskatoon kids event.
Sexuality to kids. I'm like, kids see sexuality all the time. When they see mom and dad kiss, they're like, oh. Boys like girls sometimes, right? It's like, maybe they deserve to know that sometimes girls like girls sometimes.
I would argue, and I saw somebody say this on Twitter, I would argue that if you think that a drag queen reading a book is sexual, then that's because you are attracted sexually to that drag queen.
Yeah.
Like, it is not a sexual act to read a book to children dressed as, you know, in drag.
Even
it's just not
through some, like, of course, cherry picked examples of, you know, where they're scantily dressed and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, well, you know, they go to swimming competitions, you dance competitions, cheerleading. They see cheerleaders and rider gate, like, scantily clad people are not, you know, necessarily an issue.
You
go to a beach in France. Everyone's topless and nobody's gives a shit about it. Like, bodies aren't inherently sexual.
No, just that's because right. Because
they exist.
Just by right? because they exist.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But because this is most often a man, a gay man, dressed as a woman. That just ruins.
Therefore, it's a big deal, right?
Yeah. Whereas it's like, you know, Bugs Bunny was dressing in drag like a it lot was, of episodes. And nobody took issue with it.
No, that's
and
right.
was acting sexual.
That's right. right. Yeah, that's he right.
Did that to seduce whoever, right?
Elmer Fudd.
Right? Adding the eyelash, come hither and all that. It's like, how young? What age of kids watch Bugs Bunny? Because I watched it when I was really young.
Yep.
And it did it like that. Didn't
I remember?
I don't understand.
Growing up, I watched a news thing at like this, and they said, like, I think I was like 13 or 14, and they were talking about the most violent cartoons on television, and Bugs Bunny was one of them. Yeah. But nobody said anything about the violence in Bugs Bunny at that time either. No. Like,
because that's old stuff. So yeah, I had done a few tweets because they were like, oh, it's sexualizing children. And it's like, the sexualization of children is a huge issue in media, but
yes,
drag queens are adults. Even if they're doing things that are sexual, they're adult. They're not making kids do things that are sexual. They're not telling kids to dress a certain way or, you know, whereas some of the example I used was Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time. She was 16 years old when that came
right.
out. You could argue it's just dancing, right? It's not super sexual. A Hit Me Baby is maybe not, you know, what you could interpret it as. It could be anything, right? But most people would agree.
That was,
you know, a lot of adult men who are like, can't wait till she turns 18, or not even saying that and just being like, damn, she's hot, right?
Yeah.
That's sexualizing a child. She's a child and people are viewing her as a sex object.
Yep.
Never in all of the drag events that I have attended has anyone ever said, look at this child. Let's say how sexy he or she is. Like, that's never a thing. So just misunderstanding what, you know, sexualization of children and what grooming is. Because like their whole thing about grooming is that it tries to get kids on their side so that they build trust, because that is a grooming behavior. But it's like, no, that's like saying a member of any profession, like when the firefighters come to the class and talk about their work,
are they grooming them to be firefighters?
Yeah, it's like, no, they're just saying, this is firefighting. This is what it is. Yes, maybe you want to be a firefighter one day, but just because I'm standing here talking to you about firefighting doesn't mean I'm priming you for sexual assault later. Right?
Or like, even worse, right? Like it's like having a firefighter come and read a book that's not about firefighting. Yeah. It's just some other book.
Yeah. Well, and I think we should, you know, make kids talk about gender and all of that. I'm like, I promise you kids know what gender is because it's thrust upon them constantly.
Yeah, that's right.
When you say you're a good little girl, you're a smart little boy, girls don't play with trucks here, hold, take this doll, like constantly. Mm-hmm. You know, it broke my heart the first time Arla, because we try very hard to not use like gendered things or say, you're such a nice girl. We'll just be like, oh, you're being really nice. You know,
right.
We're not perfect, but we try our best. But she goes to daycare and goes to grandparents and stuff like that. Broke my heart the first time. I can't remember what I said. We call her our bean. So it's like, oh, you're my favorite little bean. She's like, I'm not a little bean. I'm a little girl. I'm like,
oh, geez. Oh,
okay. But it was like, I don't think I'm like really know what that means, but you've been told that.
Yeah. And somebody told you that.
I'm a girl. So it's like, whatever. We'll see. But it's unavoidable, right? So to say, it's like, no, you're just upset that they're being exposed to all the whole spectrum instead of your narrow viewpoint. Yeah. But I did love that the protest just went away. I watched part of, you know, that I think her name is Tamara. She's a big like convoy person in Regina, or no, in Saskatoon. I went down a few rabbit holes because there's a group on Facebook that has a few like moles that they like feed information and like, oh, they're doing this again. And here the Freedomers are on about this again. But she posted a live of how like no freedom fighters showed up to protect our children, blah, 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 blah. And look, and she turned the camera on the like counter protesters who were all like, you know, you can see them in that picture, right? They've got their rainbow flags, trans flags. And they're like, nope. Don't come, queens. You came for the queens. You'll be destroyed, which I just love. She's like, look at this. You call it, they say that they stand for love. And I'm like, they're not doing anything. Standing around. It's like, you know, these are the supposedly the nice, peaceful people. Look at them. And it's like, they're not doing anything.
Are they beating somebody up? Is that like what's happening?
Somebody called me a name. And it's like, you call people names all the time.
Yeah, actually, and calling you a name isn't bad.
Yeah. when you're being a jerk, someone calling you a jerk, I'm sorry. Right? Like, it's not a
slur. You deserve it. it's not a slur.
Yeah. So I love that their little proposed. And as a result, Mark Friesen got banned from Twitter.
Yes, which is fantastic.
Thank you to the queens for existing.
Good riddance.
Yeah, just their existence and their desire to read stories to children made him go so far off the deep end that he's gone now. So kudos there.
So it won't be long before he just disappears from our knowledge, right? Like,
well, yes and no, because he posted the same things on Facebook and I made all the same reports on it, as I'm sure many others did. So my report came back as like, he's been suspended. I'm like, oh shit. I didn't think it would be, thought it was just, he had to take those tweets down. Right.
Right.
But Facebook is like, no, we don't think this violated our terms of whatever. And, or
yeah,
I'm like, yeah,
just didn't get reported enough times or something.
Or it's like, or maybe there's a problem with your terms of what.
Yeah.
Even the options to choose weren't as deep. Like Twitter, it was like, you could go through a lot more like options, whereas Facebook was like, did somebody say something bad? Yeah, okay, we'll look into it. Yeah, we looked into it. We don't think it's that bad.
Yeah.
You know, instead of saying, yeah. Anyways, Facebook will continue to be the platform for.
Yeah, for trash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Regina family calls out church for confronting teen about her sexuality and calling LGBTQ community demonic. Sierra Dixon's family says a church leader ambushed their 15-year-old daughter.
I did not hear about this.
Yeah, they actually just today were out in front of the church in the snow with signs talking about, you know, how it's okay to be to pray, just not praying again, just not to be, you're just not allowed to be gay in this church or whatever, stuff like that. So, yeah. Sierra Dixon, who identifies as queer, has been attending Evangelical Free Church Kids Club along with her three siblings since she was a little girl. When she aged out of the program, Sierra became a volunteer leader of the club. September 17th, Sierra was called into a meeting with the group leader and was confronted about her sexuality. Kind of told that it was the LGBT community is demonic and like it really really uncool stuff.
I mean, I noticed the word evangelical in there, so I'm not shocked. Right. I'm shocked that, you know, you are a member of the community and even want to set foot in a place like that, just knowing the history, not to victim blame here, but it's like, right,
it's unusual.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that can't be a good place for you, right? Like, yeah. Was this the first instance they had of here? Because from my understanding, is evangelicals say this kind of shit a lot. Maybe not directly to you, but just like my whole issue with, I mean, I was raised Catholic, and I have a problem with anybody who still practices Catholicism.
Right.
Because it's like you're condoning all of the unmarked graves, all of the pedophilia. So it's like, you can't say you're against pedophiles and be like, I'm a proud Catholic. Pardon? Right? So it's that same kind of thing. It's like, why are you even going to this church? You got to know they're terrible, don't you? That's I'm not surprised. It shouldn't have happened, but I'm not surprised, I guess is how I would phrase that. Yeah. But I mean, if nobody is willing to try and change things from the inside, then those places just keep getting more and more insular and get worse. But did it say, sorry, like, is anything happening as a result of this? Or are they just like, nope,
no,
gays are gays, really. Bye.
Yeah, like, more or less. I mean, Ian and Sierra and Rachel, they aren't going to this church anymore. The kids aren't in the kids club at that church anymore. I suspect they will find another church that is more accepting of LGBTQIA people. And
both sides kind of get their way and nothing
improved, really is probably going to change. Yeah.
But by the same token, can you really expect them to change? The only way they're going to change is when they just don't have any other members, right? When enough people know and care about somebody who is harmed by the church's teachings. Like, I know a lot of people that were like, Kate, I really can't be Catholic anymore.
Right,
or at least like, you know, I believe in God and all of that, but I just specifically can't go to a Catholic church anymore. I'll find my God elsewhere kind of thing, because there's just one too many things now that don't align with my personal beliefs, right? And then it's like, why is the church failing? It's like, because you're douchebags. I don't know. Nobody likes you because you're mean.
Quit being awful and people will show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Atone for your sins like you tell everybody else to do.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. For those who are still believers, there is actually a branch of, I think it's a branch of the United Church
in
Regina that is very LGBTQ friendly. And
And like pretty awesome all around as well, I think. Like, I think they're even like pro-choice, like the whole nine yards kind of thing.
If you got to get your God fix, there's you go.
Just anything with like evangelical or...
That's right.
Super aggressive too.
Yeah, I don't want to say for sure. I can't quite recall, but
I'm pretty sure my old like coworker was a Baptist, and like her kids couldn't read Harry Potter because magic.
Oh yeah, is okay.
Evil or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, good to know.
That's right.
Stay away from magic.
Man who called for genocide against Jews. Even the National Post should know better. You should refer to Jewish people as Jewish people, not Jews. Sorry, like you really should know better. Saskatchewan man who called for genocide against Jewish people, given a 1-year sentence. Travis Patron, who founded the now defunct Canadian Nationalist Party, was convicted of hate speech earlier this month. In Estevan, of all places, the former leader of Canadian Nationalist Party was handed a 1-year sentence Thursday on a hate speech charge after he called for the genocide of Jewish people in a video posted on the party's website and social media accounts. Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, he got a 1-year sentence, which isn't very much, but also it's hate speech. I don't know what the guidelines are there. I don't know what the law says.
I don't think he get too terribly much for just
no
words, right? But like hate crimes, right. Hate speech.
It's remarkable to me that somebody actually got arrested
been in jail since his arrest.
Yeah, so pretty wild.
But I would love to, because like maybe I just watch too much like American TV. And he's in jail, not like prison. But aren't there a lot of like white supremacist gangs in like stuff? So like, there was that really the best place to put?
Yeah, it's probably not going to help his anti-Semitism.
Hanging with his buddies, right? Like, that's maybe a problem. But again, maybe that's more of an American
thing. Could be.
But just reading like the shit he said is, you deserve to be found guilty on that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like if you broke the law and you have a video of you breaking the law, that is how that works, right?
Yeah.
He's going to get out on a website.
Yeah, he's going to get out in 168 days. And it doesn't say... Yeah, you haven't heard anything like, gee, what I did here was wrong, I won't do it again, and it's pretty aggravating. Yeah. So,
yeah, I wouldn't expect somebody.
His probation includes a ban on posting about Jewish people.
Oh shit! Who's gonna watch it? Like, is somebody watching his social media? Like, that's gotta be a shitty job. Let's watch the hate speech guy's fucking social media.
Well, and like, he's gonna be careful not to use the word. He's gonna be like, "you people" or "those people."
Yeah, it'll be like,
right? He's gonna skirt it,
globalists. Like, there's all kinds of dog whistles that guys know how to use. So,
just give him a list. Like, if you say these people in reference to anybody, it's probably just a bad idea.
So, Sask NDP leader Carla Beck received 94% approval from party members at the convention. The opposition party says they're building to win as the party gathers for the first in-person convention in 3 years. I mean, if you're going to have a leader, it's good that 94% of the people in your party are supportive, I suppose. Yeah. I'm not holding my breath for the day that the NDP, you know, can run Saskatchewan again. I appreciate that they're putting in the effort, but...
But are they, though? Like, I'm seeing a lot of criticism of, like, that they're not doing enough, right?
Yeah.
I think, like, honestly, just from what I've seen and a lot, like, during the pandemic and stuff, the population of Saskatchewan, like, even if they were doing everything right and doing their absolute best, I still don't think they could win because their name is the NDP and everybody, like, including my family, who, like, I know their values should be voting not conservative, but can't vote for the NDP. Those guys will do X, Y, Z because they did it back in whenever they last had power. And it's like, it just has nothing to do with anything currently. And some of it isn't even factual, right?
Right,
But it's so tainted that I just don't.
It's funny to think that people are so set in their ways in that way, right? Like, that they literally can't even, they can't change or adapt to new circumstances. And so they imagine that, like, a party can't either. And maybe the NDP isn't doing as much as I would like, but I'm sure they can adapt and change. And so they wouldn't behave in the same way now as they would have in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
Like,
well, and, like, I was a child, so I don't know, but was it actually really that bad?
I mean, we were in an economic downturn because of the previous Grant Devine government, who had built up a lot of debt for the province. And in order to, and I mean, there was a lot of austerity when the NDP, Romano NDP came into power, because they wanted to pay off the debt you know, there was
a mess.
Fix the mess that the,
but it's never seen as that, right? No, like, nobody is saying, we don't want conservatives in power, right?
Yeah.
Like, why is it one way and not the other? I don't understand. Like, they just have,
well, because they changed the name.
PR.
That's why. This is the SAS party, not the,
Progressive
conservatives. Yeah.
Okay, so that's part of my point, right? Is that they'll never win because they're called the NDP.
Yeah, because they still just call themselves the NDP.
Call yourself, like, anything.
Yeah.
Legitimately, the Penguin Party. Like, I don't care. Right.
And just, and then for the first year, just emphasize everywhere you go, we're not the NDP. I know we have some of the members from the NDP, but we're not the NDP.
They crossed over to us because, that NDP party was terrible. We agree. We're here to change it.
That's right. We want to help the working people of Saskatchewan. We're not the NDP.
Yeah. Like, how have they not done this yet?
I don't know.
Right?
Maybe some people are a little bit right in that they are very stuck in their ways and they're, like, the party doesn't want to change. So
yeah. I keep hearing, like, little twinklings on Twitter, like SAS Twitter, about there being some change coming. I don't know if it's a new party. I don't know what it is, but I have got my ear to the ground.
I know there's still that one liberal guy. And
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't do very well. I follow him on Twitter, though. I like a lot of what he puts out. It's, you know,
sometimes
respectful. Yeah. You know, he's not, like, mowing it up.
Right.
And he, you know, a lot of the things he has spoken about are like, no, that's good. Yeah, we should have better housing. And like, you know, seems pro-choice, pro-whatever.
Right.
But again, the fact that he didn't get any traction, when I know there's a lot of people who could stomach something in between, not NDP, right? Never. But I'm kind of grossed out by some of what the conservatives doing. I need something else, a little bit over here. That would be that guy, right? But he's with the Liberal Party.
Yeah.
And you're in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan hates the Liberals just because, so, and, like, they don't understand that a provincial party is not the same as the federal, whatever.
Right.
So, same thing. Time to rebrand, folks, because you're just tied to a sinking ship.
The conservatives all over the country do it every once in a while. They just change the name and they just do things. The same people, different name, you know.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the NDP and the Liberals just, they never think of it.
Yeah. They just don't do it for whatever reason.
Yeah. But I guess we are at the end of our evening. You can find us at anchor.fm/from many peoples. Our Twitter is @skpoliticspod. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/FromManyPeopleStrengthPod. All the show notes will be on skepticalleftist.com, or you can email us at frommanypeoples@gmail.com. Or if you would like to provide us with some coffee, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/frommanypeoples and donate a little bit of a dollar or two or whatever. Thank you so much, Sarah, for your time this evening.
Of course. I enjoy it.